This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser.
Oh, yo. Yeah.
End of the Formula One season, boys.
Wow.
Long year.
Can you believe 21 races? It seems like we just started.
I swear,
to me, it feels like we just started. I know you were countering that, but it feels like to me it just started.
Just the turmoil through the entire year. And you know, there at the end, I was kind of laughing about Max almost getting the shoulder. If you happen to be watching it on TV, he kept stepping up and they kept going to somebody else.
Oh, you mean at the podium, at the
right,
interviews?
At the
yeah.
End.
Well, it was started off as an exciting race with Hülkenberg flipping upside down after running into Grosjean, but it was kind of went out slowly into the rest of the race. Kind of boring, actually.
No fault of Grosjean, that incident. Just a racing incident. A big dire consequences for poor old Hülkenberg. But fair enough. And luckily Grosjean could continue, but obviously probably not 100%.
Right.
So what?
I'm surprised there wasn't any damage on that one.
Yeah. What about Max hitting Ocon early in the race there?
Again, another handshake, as Ocon would say.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's super aggressive. And again, you know, you do question. I don't know. If I were Ocon, I'd be furious.
That's the thing. It's like, okay, are we going to have the rules or are we not?
Right.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
I think there should have been a penalty. He gave it back, gave him the spot back, and then, you know, he came back and got it again. But, the way he did it, you know, somebody's going to say, yeah, well, he gave it back to him, but then he came back and was like, well, he didn't give it back to him and get out of DRS range. Was that too much? No, you know what? It should have been the stewards calling the penalty on that.
You think?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I really do think, I mean, you know, here's the thing, you know, Senna used to do this. Until you kind of reprimand him, until you say, right, every time you do that, you're going to get reprimanded,
yeah,
he'll keep doing it.
It's bad because on one hand, I like to see some action in the race.
Sure.
But you just can't do that. I mean, if everybody on the track was doing that, we'd have mayhem.
Well, and if let's not go too far back in history to look at what Ocon and Perez were doing before Force India said, whoa, boys, let's stop this because you're just taking each other out every week.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, back to Max being involved in it. Azerbaijan, when he takes Daniel out with his second move on that braking section and takes his teammate out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. All right, let me run down there into the grid for the race here. Let's see. Yeah, we can. Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen, Daniel Ricciardo, Valtteri Bottas, Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc in 7th, Perez, Grosjean and Magnussen 9 and 10th. So double points for the Haas team. And Alonso in 11th, just outside the points, finishing his career. Brendan Hartley.
I don't think he cared.
Yeah, I don't think he cared.
No, 1,800 points, he said.
1,800 points, yeah. Lance Stroll, Stoffel Van Dorn, Sergei Sorokin. Those are the ones that finished. And we had a lot of DNFs. Gasly, Ocon, Ericsson, Raikkonen, and Hülkenberg. Raikkonen's finishing his career with Ferrari sitting in the pits.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of chapters closed today. We can talk about all of them. We can talk about some of them. Some are more auspicious than others. Obviously, the obvious one is Fernando Alonso. You know, there's been a lot of pomp and circumstance about him quitting. I think it's a shame, but it's understandable. He's a competitive guy. He wants to do something different. I don't blame him. And I don't think it's over. I think if the opportunity were to come up and the stars aligned, or somebody were to not be in a position to race, I think Fernando would be a fantastic guy to come in and he would enjoy it.
I've got to say, I'm already looking forward to seeing what Carlos Sainz does on that team. Coming in to fill that spot should be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, let's hear from Fernando Alonso on his team radio, because it was pretty funny with his points. Here's Fernando Alonso.
What is the fastest lap?
Okay, Fernando, there are five laps to go. Last time round, you were 6 tenths quicker than Grosjean. Gap to him currently 5.6 seconds. There's a point here for grabs, mate. There's a point here for grabs. Let's go get him. More performance. Multi C2, position one, please. C2, position one.
I have 1,800 points.
Well, for me, make it 1,801.
So, why couldn't he have been in that position? Where was that C2 position for the last 3 years? Let's turn the wick up, boys.
It's like, wait a minute. Just like, couldn't we have used that earlier?
We've already got 1,800.
Oh, so what other from the race, boys? We had, I mean, obviously it wasn't the greatest, most exciting race today.
No, but
what about Vettel's 3.7 second pit stop? Remember that? It was early on in the race. I was like, man, what the heck?
Yeah, that was, you know, stopping for tea.
He was trying to do an undercut and ended up coming out behind Ocon. That was early in the race. A couple others. Let's see. You know, when Max racing Bottas, obviously with that points, that position, driver standings up for grabs, they were battling hard. Lap 38, Max went by Bottas. And in fact, I think Ricardo went by Bottas right after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I tailed him through there. That was excellent. I really was watching Ricardo. I thought he was going to make it all the way up, because at one point he had much better tires than Max, but I think he used them up in closing that gap up to his close to 2 second range. That was awesome, though. And you know, I think it was gratuitous to give Fernando the driver of the day, but I gotta say, I would have been behind Daniel Ricciardo getting it.
I mean, Verstappen did the job, didn't he?
That's true.
Basically has got the place overall, beat Bottas on the road, job done.
Yes, sir. And I don't know the other stories in the race. Ocon stuck on pit road. I'm just looking through some of my notes. He had locked rear brakes. That was lap 47. That was ugly. Gasly blowing smoke and being afraid of the fire, jumping on his radio.
Yeah.
You know, put out the fire.
He had no way of knowing what was going on, except it was plenty of smoke blowing over him, and the marshals were standing there. Go ahead, let him, you know, give the fire extinguisher up the exhaust pipe and take it out.
You know, we had a lot of activity, and all said and done, Hamilton 1, Vettel 2, same as the season after all that today.
Yeah, very dominant season for Mercedes. There's no question about it. 11th pole and 11th. I mean, you know, it's record equaling, if not record breaking again. But as Hamilton continues to kind of go up the ladder, there's no question. And, I look back three or four. Well, I look about when Michael Schumacher was racing for Mercedes, and they were a joke, frankly. And everybody said, what are they doing in Formula One? This is embarrassing. It's nice that Michael's racing for his old team, because he started in sports cars with Mercedes. But yeah, they said that Mercedes weren't ever going to do it. You know, they weren't doing anything, and it was just not a competitive car. And now look at it. You know,
well,
history's 2020, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think one of the things is, you know, they definitely got a jump when they traded to the six cylinders.
The diffuser thing and everything.
Yeah, that changed everything for that team. That's a market that they were in already in the consumer world. So, you know, I don't know how much engineering actually played into it from the consumer world, but it was something they had dealt with. Ferrari, have you seen a six-cylinder Ferrari before then? I really don't know.
I was also interested by Lewis Hamilton saying that car was one of the most, he'll remember this car more than any, because it wasn't the easiest of cars. He's admitted it. And I keep going back to this fact that I think this has been a struggle for Mercedes this year for two reasons. One, I don't think this was the perfect car, and they have had, when Rosberg and Hamilton were going head-to-head, I think they did have the perfect car. This was more of a struggle. This was more of a fight. And I think Hamilton, if I'm reading through the lines correctly, is saying that this championship was hard fought. Now, I think Ferrari also were better equipped, but they dropped the ball because they had a chance to win this title. So Mercedes had to be on their metal, but they were innovating all the way through, right to the end with the wheels. It sounds a really impressive technology they've got to basically manage the tire temperature with this hollow wheel technology, and I'm interested to see how that develops in 2019.
Yeah, it's true, and I think that Ferrari was way more competitive. You touched on it, but they were way more competitive this year, and I think that with the mistakes that Vettel made, we touched on this earlier in the other show, but Vettel made a lot of mistakes this year, and had he not made some of those, I think it could have been more competitive. You know, you could go down the list.
Yeah, and Raikkonen won, obviously, here at COTA, but I mean, you know, I kept thinking he got podium after podium after podium, but he just was always second up to Vettel, and you know, I love to see Raikkonen when he's doing what he did at COTA. I really enjoyed that weekend for that reason.
That him winning that race, not just because it's right here in Austin, but I think that was, for me, it was one of the highlights of the season, for sure.
Yeah, well, he drove so well, too.
Yep.
So, yeah, a lot of good reasons. But you can't take it away. Mercedes dominated the year again. And Hamilton was sublime. I mean, to be fair, I think, you know, history is 2020. In the heat of the moment, we've just finished the season. But if I'm looking back at this season and somebody says to me, well, what was so good about the 2018 season? I'm going to say Hamilton was at his sublime. He was at his finest. I don't think I've seen him drive better. Some of those qualifying laps especially were top draw. And I don't think Vettel can go home and lick his wounds. But if he really does look over every race and every qualifying session, he was beaten by the better man.
Where is Hamilton's place in history now? You know?
Fifth title. He's just the only man that's basically ahead of him now is Michael Schumacher.
Yeah. I mean, when you set them aside, you know, not just stats, is it Senna? I mean, what's the order now? Schumacher, Senna,
Well, four Hamilton? Titles for Prost, three titles for Senna, five titles for Fangio, and now Hamilton, and four titles for Vettel, obviously. I mean, I sometimes think it's a little skewed because when cars get into the purple patch, i.e. when Ferrari had their time and right, Michael yeah. won all those titles, when Williams won their titles, and now McLaren, Mercedes, but McLaren had that same sort of thing too. So everybody, you know, if you hit it right, which Vettel did, which Hamilton has, you know, and Rosberg did, you know, that you're just right time, right place. And that's why, as Bottas, you never know. Hamilton could have a problem at Australia next year, and Bottas is leading the team for the title.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to think about the best of all time, because then you think Alonso, he has none of those championships, but where does he fall on
that
list?
He's got two.
None of those five championships. He's got two, but where does he fall on that list?
I agree. It's hard to put him on that list. And I think that's part of the decision, which is there was no hope in sight of doing anything more in Formula One because the doors had all closed in terms of the driver market. You know, the merry-go-round that is. You know, you gotta find a chair when the music stops. And, you know, frankly, I think he's doing the right thing for his own career. I think he'll enjoy the next 2 years, whatever he does. And I know what he's going to do. Obviously, he's going to do a little bit of Indy. He's going to do, you know, whatever he wants. But the point is, I think he'll enjoy his racing.
Hey, I want to play a clip from today's race, because one of the highlights of this year has been Max Verstappen, watching him, you know, go from...
He's not dull, is he?
He's not dull. But I want to play this clip. Let's play his team radio clip from Verstappen.
Weird engine braking.
Copy. Try the torque rotary. Small.
Hey, listen. Weird engine braking.
Well, going up on torque is only going to help that, and I am listening. You don't need to listen.
Yeah.
Settle down, boy.
Yeah.
I do think that's the essence. I mean, in that 30-second clip, you've got the whole essence of who he is and where he is, which is he's really good and he's really fast, but he's also a little, to use the expression, cocksure, in that he's a little too sure of himself sometimes. The engineer is there to guide him and listen and advise him as best he can. So when he advises him to do whatever with the torque or change the car, it's for his benefit not to have an argument. And, hey, it's hard. The adrenaline's running. You're in the top of your game.
Yeah.
You are. I mean, when you're driving a machine at 180 miles an hour, you've got to think like you're in control and that you doubt nothing because you are risking everything. So, yeah, I can imagine the little petulance there.
Yeah, and you have to have that supreme confidence.
Sure.
At this level, if you don't think you're the best, then you don't need to be out there.
But But the champions also have some supreme confidence in their engineers, and that's the difference. When you see guys win a championship like Michael, it was Ross Brawn. It was, you know, the guys behind, you know, Ross Brawn was brilliant with Michael. He would come on, clear as Michael, you have a 3-second lead. And Michael would just, it was a calming voice, whereas you see Verstappen's not there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, look at Jimmy, you know, you listen to NASCAR, same thing. You listen to IndyCar, you know, the guys are really good with their drivers. Dixon and his engineer are fantastic to listen to.
And listen to Lewis Hamilton after every race.
Oh, yeah.
He just praises everybody on his team.
And, you know, the few times that he's asked, I mean, even today, is this where you thought I'd be? coming out, is this where you thought I'd be?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, boys, let's go and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue. We're going to talk a lot about the rest of the season.
Call in.
I mean, the season in review. Yeah, call in. 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Back after these messages.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dan Easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at MotoAustin.com.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake. Featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Lone Star Rallycross, a family-friendly time trial loose surface racing series with affordable events, quality competition, and an emphasis on having fun. Co-founded by multi-time SCCA solo and Rallycross national champion, Rally America class champion, and Pikes Peak Hill Climb winner Breanne Korn and her brother Kevin Korn. Race the same car you drive to work on Monday. Just 20 minutes from Circuit of the Americas at the state's only purpose-built Rallycross facility, online at LoneStarRallycross.com.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City. Ready, set, let's go.
Welcome back to Speed City Live in Austin.
Gene Haas and Will.
Jonathan, sit down.
Gene Haas getting jiggy with it.
Get jiggy. He had a good day today, didn't he?
He had him lots everywhere. Of fun.
They had him operating the camera. Yeah.
He was, he is actually doing, it's his 50th birthday this year, and he's been doing his bucket list. He said he's starting on it. Well, I hope we're not going to see the end of that anytime soon, but so far he ran a half marathon in Cuba, did that.
That's his bucket list? A half marathon in Cuba?
Yeah. I need to have
a long sit down and talk with him then.
So he did that.
Where's the Fresh Bell of Prince Bel Air gone?
Yeah, he bungee jumped somewhere. And so that was real cool. And he wanted to come back to the F1 race. He met Lewis at Monaco about 5 years ago. And he wanted to come back and hang with Lewis at one of the races. And that's what he did today. And apparently he got behind the camera. How about that?
Yeah, he was operating it.
How about the Instagram, too? There's a good spoof one where he ties up Lewis in duct tape before the race, puts the overalls on and says, I'm going out.
Yeah, he teased he would.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Lewis Hamilton, except about a foot and a half tall.
Yeah.
He said he was all trimmed up and ready to sit in for Lewis if he needed some backup.
Yeah, I like it.
What was his original? Not Fresh Prince. Oh, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
There you go.
Wow.
Grandpa?
No, go ahead.
All right, we're gonna talk a little bit more about the 2018 season here after Formula One's wrapped up.
Larry, call in. I want to hear what you think of the season.
He is on.
As if by magic.
Hey, Larry, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, it's going good today. I'm telling you, just out here living the dream.
Living the dream. Where are you, buddy?
This is a season for the ages. I don't remember ever a season like this in my living memory. I don't ever remember a season like this. The amount of action on the track, the overtaking, the competitiveness of the field, the fights that were going on between competitors. We have competitors that can have a career. Like right now, I think we're looking at Vettel and Hamilton, like without the longevity of Petty and Pearson, God rest David Pearson, running one and two, battling each other. Hamilton's definitely winning the war, and he is a great champion. He's going to continue to be a great champion. And then you have all the up-and-comers. It's the era also of the young drivers. Leclerc, now you're bringing up so many more young drivers, George Russell, and now we have Tatiana Calderon. I don't know if she'll ever get a ride, but she's proven she's got a lot of speed.
She's got a test tomorrow, in fact, for the Sauber team, and also for GP2.
It'll be interesting to see how she does in GP2 under the tighter competition to see, because she is a little older.
Yeah.
I mean, she should already be in a seat at the age she is compared to who would be her contemporaries. But it's interesting to see how it goes. And I cannot tell you how elated I am for Robert Kubica.
Yeah, that's good.
Elated for Robert.
So have you followed his career? I mean, it is a fascinating, we're going to talk more about it in a minute, but it's a fascinating story in many ways. Because he was on, I was telling the boys yesterday, he was on the verge of getting he had a Ferrari contract in his back pocket before that rally crash.
Yes, he did have and nobody knew that he had a Ferrari contract in his back pocket. And that crash not just almost took his arm off, it damn near killed him.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And for him to get back in a car and continue to compete, he had to have follow-on surgeries to get his arm function to where it could actually go. I think he really has overcome his physical limitations. He really has overcome his physical limitations. And for him to be able to work with that Williams team, because it was in the pre-race show, and you said that car's a dog. And it's true. That car was a dog. And when they had that very unusual nose with the double drop off the nose to the wing, it started really going downhill. They missed something in that chassis design. And it's really a shame to have that team that functioned at such a high level down there where they are now. And hopefully Robert Kubica can help him get that team turned around, because that's one of the great names that should be higher up on the grid. It really should. I'd like to see that become resurgent, but they've just got to get some more talent behind the engineering. Like you said, the calm voice on the radio that helps guys focus in the race car and focus in the proper direction. And Max has to have that. He really does. Max Verstappen has to have that. He can't be arguing with his team. Focus on driving the car and trust your team, and you will do well. He is a generational talent as well. If that car with the Honda engine, Honda gets it together and gives them horsepower, next year is going to be greater than this year was if you have a truly three-way fight. And then with the midfield, the drama in the midfield, there's such bad blood between Renault and Haas and the fourth Indian Haas. I hope they win their appeal. I really do hope
they lost it, unfortunately. But, you know, they may appeal. You're absolutely right. They may still win that.
You know, I still think that Verstappen, I'm sitting here thinking about what you're saying, Larry, and he is a generational talent, probably, but he's so immature. There's a lot to go here for him. And I don't know, is he going to grow into the driver that he could be? But if he doesn't grow some more, then I don't think he will be that.
I don't think, here's the thing that I think he needs, and it's interesting because Kubica has it. He is extremely engineering based, very knowledgeable. He can talk about the car. He worked a lot with the 41 team. Robert worked with the Williams 41 team. Max doesn't seem to have any technical knowledge of his own car. Quite honestly, that's one thing I've noticed.
Well, you don't have to know how they work to drive them, but it helps. If you're struggling, interfacing with the engineers can help. But if you know how to drive them, you don't have to know how they work. But I see a lot of Alonso in Verstappen, and he needs to look at Alonso's career and the unfulfilled promise of it and see himself in that story.
I know.
That's interesting.
Larry's making the same mistake I did. It's like, okay, the unfulfilled promise. He did win two championships, but I know we could have seen so much more.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you're right. He's he's on the verge of either being a great and being nurtured into a great. That's what his engineer was trying to say to him today, which is like, I got you. I've got your back. That's what I'm here for. That's why they pay me the big bucks. And he just needs to just calm down and trust the process, as they say.
Yeah.
He really does, because he's got a good team behind him. He's got a real good team behind him. It is a premium seat in that series at the highest level of motorsports in the world, and he needs to realize that and get a little bit of humility that seems like Lewis Hamilton has in spades.
Yeah.
That man, humble. He really, truly is humble and understands the gift that he has been given. And Verstappen is coming from, he's privileged. He is a privileged character. He really needs to get a dose of humble pie, which would help both his team and him, and fulfill the promise that he has in those two hands and those two feet and that mind of his to drive a race car, because God made that boy to drive a race car.
I think you're absolutely right. He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, but his dad did too, so I think there's a little bit of family chip there. It's just us against the world a little bit with Verstappen's, but that's, you know, that's how he goes racing. And I mean, let's face it, you know, you could name a few basketball players and a few football players that when they play angry, they play good. So yeah. You know,
hey, Larry, you talked about the season, and it is, I think you're right. We have to kind of step back and look at what an amazing season this was, really. I mean, going into it, there was a little trepidation. We weren't sure what we were going to get this season. Were we going to get, you know, Mercedes run away with it again? So what were some of your favorite spots from the season, Larry?
Well, I was laughing out loud at Christian Horner's conference at this race. he's one of the real characters in the sport of F1.
He married a Spice Girl.
Yeah, that's right. Well, forget that.
He's living large, married to a Spice Girl.
Yeah.
And he really does have a great sense of humor. And I think he can take it as well as dish it out. In the stodgy world of F1, he really does a ray of sunshine and a breath of fresh air, Christian Horner, to just continue to pile on the cliché. Here.
Stodgy world of Formula One. Good English expression, Larry. I love it. By the way, just while we got you on the line, I just want to update you and for you to keep an eye on this. Tatiana Calderon, I'm glad you picked up on her, because I'm really looking forward to see how she gets on. She's testing for the F2 Charouz team, and she's going to test both cars in the next couple of days. As you know, she did a Sauber test at Mexico City for her F1 related team, because she's the official reserve driver. But her hope is to be in F2 next year, having been in GP3 this year. And she didn't change the world in GP3, but got a couple of good, decent results. But she's an interesting prospect. And as you say, she's a little older, and she's taken her time to get where she's going, but she stayed in single seaters and she's done a good job.
Hey, Larry, thanks for calling in, buddy. And thanks for calling in all season. And of course, we're going to be back doing the same pre and post next year. And of course, our regular Sunday night show. So Larry, thanks a lot, buddy. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, no problem. I've really enjoyed this season and really enjoyed the coverage, and the commentary from you gentlemen has really been exciting for me to see this kind of F1 effort in this country, because I've loved it for so long. And thank you. I really do enjoy it. Thank you ever so much. And you're also gracious with your time with me, and for that I thank you as well. God bless you all.
All right. Hey, thanks, Larry. We'll see you next season.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's right, Larry. Hey, be sure and check us out on Facebook. We've got social media, you know, all of those things going on. And you can keep up with our podcast during off season. We've always got something to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, we got lots to talk about this year.
Oh, yeah. And if you you can check our podcast out, you can go to our website. It's always there, speedcitybroadcast.com or iTunes. And if you do like us on iTunes, give us one of those thumbs up or whatever you get on iTunes, a like or a thumbs up or whatever. All right, guys, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the season. We're also going to talk about Macau, the Macau Grand Prix that Jonathan was just commentating at.
Hanging like a cow?
Heck no, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too.
All right, listen to Speed City live in Austin, back after these messages. All right, we want to welcome Sean Walker with Haggerty Insurance to the show, and we're going to talk Porsche. We're going to talk collector cars.
Porsche or Porsche?
Either one, whatever you want to
You'll
call it.
You'll get in trouble no matter which you say.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody will yell at you.
I think if you own one, it's Porsche.
Yeah,
if
I think
you don't
you're right.
own one, it's Porsche.
Yeah, if you're from Texas,
I'll try to remember that.
Porsche.
It's Porsche.
All right, well, Sean, you've been doing some research about the market, the collector market. Let's
dig in. You were looking for a car. What were you looking for?
I would like to get a pre-'89 911 coupe.
Okay.
The valuations on those run anywhere from about about 25K to 80 or 90K.
Right.
So what I'm doing at this point is I'm really making a point of studying what makes the difference between a 25K Porsche and that 90K Porsche.
Well, I think that's the fun of Porsche is that they had so many trims, so many engines, so many different setups in the same car. So you can be looking at two 911s and really be looking at two different cars, but not know it if you don't know what you're looking at. Additionally, if you're looking to buy a car, especially a collector car, you want to make sure that your collector car appreciates in value over time. So you always want to buy in at the right time in the market. So I wonder if Porsche is, if it's the right time to buy Porsche. So basically, I just looked at the market overall for resale collector vehicles, and we found that about half of the cars that put on the market this year in an auction fashion were bid less than sticker price. And of that 50% snippet that we took, there was really only a 1% increase in the overall value.
What I am seeing, the 2.4s are increasing, still increasing. The 2.7s, not so much. And the 3.0s are definitely increasing some now. That's what I'm seeing on my own independent study before you and I talked about having this discussion.
There you go. Well, hopefully you've been looking at the Haggerty valuation tool.
Of course.
Where you're getting your information.
Absolutely.
Because you can get graphs on this stuff. So you can actually see where your car did, where it was 2 years ago, where we think it's going to go 2 years from now. Right now, the middle market of cars, the middle market of Porsche especially, so like your 918s, your 933s, they're just performing below average on a bid base. So prices are coming out just fine, but people aren't paying those prices. So we're not seeing a lot of gavels for the ask value or any reserve. Hmm. So they're kind of underperforming at the moment, but it's not all gloom and doom. There's still a lot of room in that Porsche world to grow. We know that if you get the right Porsche, you're going to do fine, right? Now, what the right Porsche is right now, unfortunately, is out of most of our spending ranges. Yeah. So the high-end Porsches, your Carrera GTs, your 918s, these are doing very, very well in the market. They're selling like hotcakes and they're going on the block a lot. So we're seeing a lot of them, but they're still performing at a high level. It's the middle market cars that are kind of taking a hit.
I've honestly been looking more towards some of the hot rod Porsches or the Outlaws, if you will. That are mixed up in parts a little bit. They're not the purest. They don't have the matching numbers often. A lot of times it is, they took some later brakes and put on it. They took a later motor and put in it, things like that. How does that play into that?
I think that's the change we're seeing in the whole overall market of this hobby we have, is that people are kind of straying away from the restoration numbers matching car, and they're seeing more of, what did you do to this? What can I do to this? Bolt-on parts, OEM, parts, but they're making it their own. So the market for those cars is really doing well. In fact, 47% of the quotes we did on Porsches this year were for millennial and Gen X buyers drivers. So the newer car guy is into the Porsche. So we know that it's going to do well.
My son, who's 20 years old, is, in contrast, similar money, like 25 to 35, but looking at 996s. Obviously, they have that IMS that you have to repair. Or be prepared to.
People make such a big deal about this IMS bearing. It's not that big of a deal. You can swap that bad boy out. You're good to go.
Yeah.
People are so afraid of the IMS bearing for some whatever reason that the prices have stayed fairly.
Think of it like a timing chain. Take care of it.
Yeah,
not a problem.
That's a perfect example. Well, Sean Walker with Haggerty Insurance, we appreciate it. And we'll look forward to the next episode of this.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Hello, I'm Felipe Massa, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're kind of in the glow of the 2018 Formula One season, and we have several things I want to talk about. One of them, though, I know we rooted for Haas, and it was kind of a little bit disappointing at the end. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, 512-643-LIVE, 512-643.
Yeah, let's see what you've got to say about the season, see what your thoughts are.
Yeah, 643-5483. But I'm Haas just, F1, what were you going to say?
I'm just amazed Grosjean went through that encounter and had no damage of any significance.
Oh, today's race, yeah. That's true. They said he had a little front wing damage, but apparently not enough to make him come in and swap it out.
You were going to say Haas, third year.
Yeah, third year. All right, so Haas had 29 points in 2016. They had 47 in 2017. And then this year, let's see what our final total was, because I mean, we talked about them battling for the final spot, the fourth spot with Renault. But so 93 points.
That's really impressive.
I mean, think about that,
guys. We'll take it.
That is a huge.
Who's behind them?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's true. All right. Hey, we got a caller on the line. We got Andy from Chicago. Hey, Andy, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, how goes it? It's Andy P How are you?
Hey,
how's it going?
It's bright and sunny in Austin, Texas.
We thought you lost your phone.
it's bright and sunny.
No, the phone's working. I'm just it's a little cold up here in Chicago, trying to get the fingers to work properly.
Ah, I
it's
see.
A little hard.
Yeah, we're all in t-shirts.
It's cold here in Austin. It's like 65 or something.
Well, your cold and my cold are a little bit different.
What do you reckon, Andy?
Just wanted to call in. One, I wanted to say thanks for everything that you guys did all year. I think the show is great. Two, had a question about Haas. One, I'm glad that they made P5 in the constructors. That's actually quite an achievement given how young the team is. But where do they go from here? How do they get kind of out of the shadow of being thought of in Europe as kind of a Ferrari B team? And where do you see them going in the next maybe 4 or 5 years?
Do they have
a shot at podiums and a win?
You know, that's a really good question. I fear for one reason that they planted themselves as the junior Ferrari team a couple of years ago when they started, and that gave them a huge, you know, vaunt straight into the midfield, which was a smart, smart move. But look at what Alfa Romeo and Sauber have done as a junior Ferrari team this year. And I think Ferrari have cottoned on to what Haas has achieved in such a short space of time and said, well, hang on a minute. We own Sauber and Alfa Romeo and all that kind of stuff. Let's make them the next team. And I think the qualifying, it's not just Leclerc being a strong driver. I think both Leclerc and Ericsson at the end of the season are showing what Sauber's going to be. And I think that's another reason why Kimi's going there next year. So that doesn't answer your question. I think Haas now need to concentrate on being Haas and less Ferrari. And what I mean by that is, as we go towards the 21 rules, Haas needs to start. They've already got a Rich Energy. They've got a title sponsor next year. I think we'll see a move away. And obviously, they're a machine company anyway. So I think we might see them become more of their own entity and more of the Gene Haas influence, and as they stand in their own right as a midfield team rather than a Ferrari junior team. Would you agree?
I think that they're going to... I'd like to see them solidify maybe P5, P4. I'd love to see them somehow find a way to fight for podiums. I don't know how you solve this top six versus the rest issue that just is so rampant in the sport right now. It's going to be hard for them, I know, but I think if anyone can pull it off, I mean, Gene Haas knows how to invent, and I hope that they can come up with something good.
Let me ask you a question. In our pre-show, we had a bit of fisticuffs, me and Les. I said that I thought it was a really good thing that Grosjean and Magnussen were the stable team in Formula One and they're going forward that way with Gunther. He said he'd like to see a bit of a shake-up. What do you think?
I just don't know who else you're going to get right now.
Boom. That's exactly what I said. I'm with you, Andy P.
I mean, I think for now, Grosjean is probably a very stabilizing force in that team. He kind of knows, he does know how to win. Like to see that moving forward. I like Kevin Magnussen a lot. The guy's always shown a lot of talent. I always thought he got kind of a raw deal at McLaren.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's good to see him, you know, fighting forward. And he shed the bad boy image that he's had for a long time. So I'm hoping for good things moving forward.
Yeah, me too. And I think that consistency will be important. Now I think you're right. They've got to build on this. But this is a tremendous watershed year for Haas. I mean, they have punched way above their weight to take on Renault, factory team, Force India, and wipe the floor with McLaren and Williams, two of the most successful teams in you know. And I don't care. You can say, oh, well, the McLaren didn't have the good aerodynamics. Hey, you all start with the same, you know, effectively. So for whatever reason, Haas have got it right.
And maybe, Andy, how about this? Look, we are looking for changes, right? You're talking about how do we fix this, the big three, the top six drivers. Maybe these changes for 2019 is a step in that direction. We are going to get some aerodynamic changes. It's supposedly going to make some things that are more competitive. So I don't know. I mean, it is a huge issue, and it is probably the biggest issue in the whole sport, is thinking about how we do this, how we make it more competitive. Yeah, race to race more competitive, but maybe that's it. I don't know, Andy. Maybe that's the only thing I can come up with in the short term.
I certainly like where the direction of the 19 aero. I mean, if you guys ever look at my Twitter, you guys know I hate the fact that you get cars that get close and can't overtake, and that just drives me crazy. This race was actually a really good example of that, where, you know, you get within 4 seconds and everybody just seems to want to stop because they hit this, you know, wall of air that they can't seem to fight through. So it would be great to see that if that 19 aero rules, I know they're going to take a lot of downforce off the front wing. I love what it did in IndyCar. You take aero off, the racing came alive, so that certainly helped it. And I want to see the 2021 rules go in that direction. So let's hope 19 is a good experiment to see if the racing can come alive a little bit more. And then if that's the case, then go all in on the 2021 rules would be my advice to Fom.
Are you building a track in Chicago for us? We'll come racing there?
We have Chicagoland Speedway up here, but unfortunately it's an oval, so I don't see F1 coming this way. So I try to make it down at least once a year, obviously for COTA. You guys saw my pictures at the race, so I'm debating whether or not I want to come down for IndyCar. I'm hoping I can make that happen.
Debating?
Come on. What are you debating about?
They're going to have t-shirts for sale there.
You have an official invite from the three of us.
And you know what? If you want some tickets, we'll get you some tickets, Andy. So there's no excuse now. You got free tickets. You can stay at Jonathan's house.
Did that just happen?
That just happened. We just gave away tickets right there on the spot, Andy P.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I guess I will be seeing you in March.
All right, fine. March 22nd. We'll see you then.
We're going to do this one caller at a time. We're going to fill the stands.
Hey, Andy will be a good one, though.
Awesome minds, baby.
You got it.
Hey, Andy, thanks a lot for listening all year. We really appreciate it. And, of course, you know, we got our podcast and our regular Sunday night show here in Austin and everything else. So we don't go dark during the off season, buddy.
And I'm going to New Zealand, so I'll be getting you up to date on who is coming up through the ranks.
Toyota Racing Series. That's right. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate you calling and listening, buddy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the tickets, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Hey, lucky man.
Lucky man. There you go.
Like it.
Yeah, guys. I do. I was just touching on some of that hot stuff. There's actually a few more little tidbits from that. You know, this is we had double points today, right? So this is the fifth time this year, double points.
Yeah. And you know what? Look at what you reminded me. What could have happened to Haas? They could have easily been fourth if Australia had gone Ryan. I mean, there was There were several times where they had problems, but Australia was the most obvious. They were running what, fourth and fifth?
Fourth and fifth. I mean, that alone would have almost made up the gap by itself.
And when you think about some of the problems that they've overcome, like the braking issues from last year and so on and so forth, I mean, I don't remember any specific issues this year that really held them back. They were consistently good.
13 of 21 races, they scored points. They did not go more than two races without getting points. Like I said, five double points. I mean, and the fact that they were fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
And they've been in fifth position multiple times this year. I think
COTA was the turning point in many ways.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're going to see. It's just statistically looking at it, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see a podium or two next year.
Yeah, and I think Andy quite rightly asked the question, what next? And I think that's the expectation now, is that we now should be expecting Haas, as American fans, to be racing for the top four. And like you say, getting some podiums, Grosjean and Magnussen, both capable of doing that. And I just hope the progression continues.
You bet. I think they will. You know, we've seen consistency more so in the performance. When everybody's out there and they're on it, you're seeing a stronger, consistent performance there. And so I think that's what it's going to take. Staying out of trouble with the other drivers, obviously, but they're coming around.
You know, I'm just wondering, and Andy said it, he's, you know, Gene Haas, the guy has built a multi-billion-dollar company in Haas Automation. He's won championships in NASCAR. I mean,
what's the plan?
Yeah, what is the plan? What strategic partnership, or, you know, he's obviously got it with Ferrari, but what could he do? I just don't have an answer.
I do think it's interesting that finally they're branching out into some title sponsorship, and I think that's going to start to, you know, it's not all coming out of Gene's pocket anymore, and that means that they can go forward. And I do think that's a significant
look. Money makes the world and Formula One go around. It's very obvious.
Well, and research isn't cheap. I mean, researching is more than anything learning from failures. You learn more from what you didn't get right than you do what you should get right.
I mean, if I'm being serious about the answer, the question is, I would now put more time into the modern technology of simulation, etc., to get more. I mean, there isn't going to be any more testing time, but like you say, there's going to be rule changes that the people who work on behind the scenes on the aerodynamics, whether simulated or not, are going to have the advantage. And I think anything they can glean from Ferrari, I mean, if I were Gene Haas, I'd be making sure that my relationship with Ferrari was as robust as it's ever been, because I do believe that Sauber, I think Ferrari can spread themselves so thin, all three Ferrari Ferrari engines this weekend were right at the sharp end, top 10. And so I hope that continues. And I think Gene needs to make sure that relationship is as strong as ever as Saab arrives. And they're going to have a reason to with Raikkonen there.
Well, you know, one of the things that is interesting, there might be outside forces playing into this. The CEO of Renault, who was the big backer of getting Renault back into Formula One, is under arrest right now for some financial issues.
He is.
So there's debate whether the budget at Renault will stay intact or not, or how big it will be.
That was a big surprise.
It was a big surprise.
Gosen has been a figurehead for a long time for Nissan and
Renault.
Very
successful. I mean, he brought Mitsubishi, Renault, and Infiniti together, and he's been hugely successful. But you don't mess about with the accounts in Japan. They'll find you.
Yeah, scary. All right, guys, let's go and take another break. And when we come back, we're going to go into the Macau Grand Prix that Jonathan was at a week ago. Sophia Floresh, we got an interview with her. Obviously, she's doing well. I want to talk about that big wreck and how everyone else is doing, because there were other people who were injured in that too. So listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Lone Star Rallycross, a family-friendly time trial loose surface racing series with affordable events, quality competition, and an emphasis on having fun. Co-founded by multi-time SCCA solo and Rallycross national champion, Rally America class champion, and Pikes Peak Hill Climb winner Breanne Korn and her brother Kevin Korn. Race the same car you drive to work on Monday. Just 20 minutes from Circuit of the Americas at the state's only purpose-built Rallycross facility. Online at LoneStarRallycross.com.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing at Decker Lake. Featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built, Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellers.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellers Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellers doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellers White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellers, Austin's original craft brewery.
Talk 1370.
I'm Jenny Gow from BBC F1. You are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. It's John Massengill sitting in studio with Jonathan Green, Les Kaiser. And Jonathan, last week you were in the middle of the biggest story on motorsports on the planet.
Yeah, and I was probably the most silent on it, so I apologize.
I know. That was really tough. I know you were representing the series there.
And
no one knew what was happening with Sophia Floresh.
Yeah, and here's the thing. As you well know, the TV cameras didn't actually capture the accident. It was all on people's phones, which is why it spread like wildfire, because it was the crowd spreading the pictures. But that's why officially we couldn't really comment too much on it. Simply with A, we didn't know her condition. B, we didn't know what had happened to the photographers. There was two international, a Japanese photographer and a local photographer that were injured. One was a lacerated lung, and the other was a broken jaw. Therefore, they're okay. And so too is Sophia, even though she hit the wall at over, 170 miles an hour?
When I woke up last Sunday morning and saw that clip, I was like, that is the most horrific, scary-looking
can, I mean, at 170 miles an hour, the car flying backwards. Yeah, it was crazy. And I knew you were there, Jonathan. So I realized.
Well, we had to film for 2 hours when we, you know, we knew what was going on, but they were fixing the fence and we didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to. I'm a big believer, and I do believe that you shouldn't speculate when things like this happen and, right. and get, you know, hey, you know, I'm sure her parents were tuning in. You know, I mean, you know, you don't want to start speculating on the wrongs and rights and wherefores until you have the facts. We actually did put out an official line about the injuries during the podium situations, but you know, and the drivers were talking about it before that because you know things were spreading out through text and through teams and so on and so forth. But you've got to be very careful about what you officially say as the official commentator. So I apologize for not being more into it, but I did get to know the young lady and did an interview with her early in the week, and she, no question about it, is a very interesting young lady. And I would like to say happy 18th birthday next week, because she's had an 11-hour operation. She had a one vertebra broke, and then she also had some bone splints that they needed to remove. Because that was a, to be honest, it just shows you how well Dallara made that tub, because...
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Incredible. So here's Sophia. Sophia Flursch from Germany, just turning 18 December 1st. And she says she's going to be back, but let's hear what she said. I spoke to her after her first run at Macau, and she was so excited to be at the famous street race. Sophia Flursch, congratulations on your first debut run here at Macau. 15th overall in just two runs. You've got to be pleased with that.
Yeah, well, I think I'm quite happy. For a rookie, I think it was a quite good job. We started on used tires and then switched to two new. I think some of the other teams put already four new, so that's for sure a plus point for them. But we'll see where we end up in quali two tomorrow. And yeah, I had a little touch with the wall as well, so just had two push laps actually on those new tires. I think if we get everything together and get proper rhythm in, I think we can be even faster. But yeah, I'm quite happy actually already now.
When I met you yesterday, you were like leaping up and down trying to go, I can't wait till tomorrow. Was it everything you expected, or what surprises, if any, did you have?
Actually, it's not what I expected. So the track is super cool. I went out this morning and was like, how the hell can you be so fast here? Because yes, since you're like thinking about one apex, but already three corners ahead, because it's just going so fast, and you need to get everything good to be fast. And I think this track is just unbelievable. You have it nowhere else, and it's super fun. And actually, here you see who is a good driver, and yeah.
You're the only girl here this year, but Macau's got a history of several women, but all the way back to the first event. What's your ambition as a racing driver? Because I wonder how you feel about the sort of the instigation of an all-women series, given that you're here racing against the boys. What's your take on all that?
To be honest, I want to win or drive against the best of the sport, and I think at the moment it's still men. And yeah, that's also my goal for the future, to beat them. And I think when I beat them, I also beat the women records, and that's a nice bonus for me, of course. But yeah, I want to be fastest of everyone and not just women.
Is the world changing a little bit in terms of the approach? It was always hard to get sponsorship, and like I said, everybody kind of sort of believed that women couldn't do it, and they're proving that completely around the world, whether it's IndyCar, GTs, you name it. That myth is gone. But is the sponsorship possibilities and how to, you know, get ahead, because you need money, is that opening up now more for women?
It depends. So as a woman, it's quite difficult to get the respect. You always have to show, I think, a little bit more than the men that you can do it, and that you actually really want this and live for this sport. And that's sometimes quite tough, but it's also like a good motivation to push even more in training and so. So yeah, you need to be able to work with that. But it's getting better, and I'm really happy to have some partners who support me, believe in me, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do the sport. And I hope that there will be more coming in the future.
I'm going to say, being from Germany, you've got plenty of idols to look up to, I'm sure. Who's impressed you over the years, or who would you like to emulate?
For sure, Lewis Hamilton. Yeah. I think he's a really good driver, and I think his motivation and concentration during race weekends is really good. He's always focused and yeah, giving 100%. And then I have a female idol as well, which is Lindsay Vonn from Ski Racing. I think
she's a badass.
Yeah, she is. And
I think she could be a racing driver if she wanted.
Yeah, she's crazy cool. I think what she achieved in her sport is unbelievable, and just her motivation for the sport and training is crazy. And yeah, that's what I really like on her.
What's your own ambition right now?
Well, to finish this weekend good, to not end up on the wall again. But yeah, I think as long as it's top 12, I can be quite happy. It's for me the first time here, and it's a really tough year this year. So we will see, but I think no pressure, and then we'll be going quite good. We have a good car, so we're happy with that.
And turning 18 in a couple of weeks, I mean, I guess a full season of F3 next year, that's the plan?
Yeah, I'm turning 18 in 2 weeks, finally. And yeah, for sure, F3 again next year. I don't know which series, because everything is changing. But it will be something similar to this one again, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed the famous McCarr. Keep at it, and let's see if you can improve up 15th. Well done.
Thank you.
Obviously, that interview before her big crash, but I wanted to play the whole thing because it was an interesting interview because I think it's great that her hero is Lindsay Vonn, because she too went through amazing injuries to her knee and of course is, as I said, a badass and one I would look up to. And now she's coming through this injury and is determined to get back. She said in her Twitter and Instagram, she's on the mend and she's ready to go and she wants to do a full season in Formula 3. And I think we'll be hearing a lot from her. I think she's a great kid, and she's done well, and that was an horrific crash, but
pretty prophetic when you ask her what about this weekend. She said just
want to get through
it.
Yeah. It was such a weird accident. I haven't had a chance. I do know exactly what happened, by the way, and a lot of people have been asking me. She hit the back of another car who'd seen a yellow and braked early, which therefore she went into the back of Jahan Daruvala, lost, and then she went backwards into the barriers, lost both wheels, and then effectively the tub was going along the ground, along the rumple strips, and hit the sausage curbs, which is something that Grosjean and the GBTA are going to look at, which is, were those the right curbs? Because that's what flew her up into the air. And it could, in some ways, might have actually helped in some ways because she didn't hit the other car. Bottom line is she got lucky. And it was a freaking incident, and safety was well observed, and everything did work. Macau will look at it. Charlie Whiting will look at it. But, a nice story at least that ended at least with everybody unscathed.
Yeah, and well, let's talk about next year. We've got a couple minutes left in the show. I want to talk about 2019 Formula One calendar, because our 21 race calendar is going to start a little early, of course, in Australia at Melbourne, March 17th. And so it's Australia, Bahrain, China, Azerbaijan, Spain, Monaco, Canada. I guess
the usual suspects.
One difference, especially for us here in Austin, is that Mexico is going to come before Austin. So October 27th will be Mexico, and back since the second race here. So it's been 2013. In November. So Austin, November 3rd, which I think is good for a couple of reasons. One, the weather's going to be a little cooler and less chance of rain here in Austin.
That's true.
Yeah.
In November than we get in October, we've had the epic rains
October
here.
October is,
so. Yeah, I quite like the idea of Mexico before. I'd like to go. I have not been to the Mexico Grand Prix. We know everybody there. It keeps winning awards for what the great event they put on. So I think it's just a mix up. I like it.
Yeah, we're going to be at a couple races next year, and I think Mexico may be one of those ones we add to our calendar to go to have at least
Canada.
One of us. Mexico and Canada, yeah. All right, we're just about done. One of the other things I want to make sure you think about is those 2019 rule changes. There's a bunch of them. Go read about them. We'll tweet out some stuff. There's some interesting aerodynamics across the board. So
hey,
watch
out for our podcast. I've got several coming up, one on Indy. We've got some interesting subjects we want to talk about. I think that's what we're going to focus on over the winter is some really in-depth podcasts.
Yep, and of course, go to our website, and that's kind of the hub for all of our content, speedcitybroadcast.com. Thanks for tuning in all year for the Formula One broadcast, and of course, we will talk to you next Sunday night right here in Austin.
The hammer time is over.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.